Today's lesson was there was an exercise involving the Jumping Mouse story. So I don't know if you had a chance to read it today.
I didn't get a chance to, but I just read the top thing. It was a very important one, so I was pretty excited. But I'll get to that tonight after my little one goes to bed.
Yeah, and that's fine because we're actually going to go through it together anyway. And just sort of do that one. We don't often take things out of the lessons into satsang, but we will do this one.
Cool.
So, just again, just settle into yourselves for a moment and acknowledge that we're coming into this space of satsang and counsel, and it's very much a healing place. So when we meet every week, it is a place to cleanse and, a place for exploration and clarification. And that not only regards topics, to be clarified, but just as in the process of alchemy, your continual, your being clarified on a metaphysical level. So maybe just taking a nice breath and letting go of the day's activities. And it's like you've come to a bathhouse here, and your spirit is with you, and the spirit needs cleansing as well on a regular basis. So just considering that we're here to do that in very creative ways and through the word. We've just come through quite an astrological fanfare. There was a triune happening that began with the lunar eclipse and is basically kind of closing itself off today with the solar eclipse. And I don't know about you folks, but it was pretty crunchy. Seems like life really likes the taste of chaos, is what I've determined. It's like the
Oh man, yeah.
It's like the yummy sauces in the sandwich. The sandwich itself is kind of boring without the aioli sauce and stuff like that, and that's sort of how I was perceiving chaos and coming through it. So maybe just touching in for yourselves a little bit about how is chaos for you if you feel like it, and how are you feeling on this at this time with these changes, the solstice, the eclipses.
This week specifically, I think I've been really hard on myself. I don't know. I just like things that I have to do. I guess I could definitely say the past couple weeks had a bit of chaos, but I do find myself slowly coming into peace with things. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, had someone, another fellow who does satsang. I ran into him just after the lunar eclipse, and he said, "So, how are you finding it?" And I was like, "I don't know. I didn't really notice anything. I'm a woman. We bleed. The moon cycle is nothing new." And I just thought of him this morning, and I could just hear him laughing. That is a, yeah, just give it some time.
That's hilarious. I've been like for so many years really in touch with my moon cycle and my I can tell what's happening in my body and when I'm ovulating, and then the last 2 months I've completely lost, not completely, but I've lost touch with my ovulation, and I'm been like scanning my body and just, yeah, it feels like things are chaotic because it's not hap it's not ha I like I can feel inside my body there's just it's, the eggs are not coming down and letting go, and I've been doing some reading about that and that it's okay, and just like really loving my body, in now is the time I'm coming into wanting to conceive, and and the ovulation has seemingly stopped for a little while. So that's been my kind of, in amidst all of life and the ongoings of things, I'm just noticing that. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's all part of the chaos and getting out of the way. What we want and what is. We talk a lot about what is with capital W and capital I. And it is such a mystery, this life. We cannot know. The future is forbidden, and we can have wishes and dreams. And today I was talking about like being at the head of a galactic ship, and your hand is on the control panel or on the control, joystick kind of thing. But you also have, let's say it's a ship, and so you also must be aligned with the tides and the weather and the different kind of the wind, and you also have a crew. So even just to navigate through life in that way, no, yes, you do have the your hand on the control panel, but it's a collective. And again, we've talked about this with like your inner council. There are 10 beings inside of you, and you must consult with each of them. And we can get really caught up in running our lives, and it is ours to mind our own business. And that is minding our own business, is acknowledging you're not alone, and life can't do it without you. And there are so many, many different players. And for instance, this week I was in kind of chaos of movement, and something happened that I could never have imagined would be important. And it happened in somebody else's life, but it was something that came through my searching, so to speak. I reached out to them and they accepted, and then they had this like a experience, and I realized, oh, that experience had to happen before I could carry on. And I could no, could not have imagined it. So you think of all these puzzle pieces and how they're coming together. And I often say it's more like a plate of colored beads. So one of the things that chaos also provokes, maybe, or is in council with, is fear. So the exercise we're going to work with today is a little bit of working with your fear and taking it into the field, so to speak. Rumi talks, there's the field in between. I will meet you there.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. And so if it doesn't have to be fear, like you spoke, Bonnie Jean, of doubting yourself or being hard on yourself.
But you know what? It really stemmed from fear, like the specific situation that I'm talking about. So I can see the connection there.
Okay, yeah, everything usually does.
Yeah, definitely.
Fear's
God
the
damn it.
yeah, fear's kind of the great master there of motion. So the exercise is that, so just put yourself in, let's say you both have something there, right? There was the being hard on yourself and whatever is there around your body just doing what it's doing right now. And just sort of be with it, just go into it, and you might even feel some tightness, and it's okay to just, you're just going to visit it. And this is also part of mastery, is being able to just step into it enough to experiment with it and not be it. So just enough, go, yeah, okay, I've got that feeling. And you can even have your eyes closed if you like. And now, all of a sudden, when you open your eyes, you are Little Mouse. And you're in Little Mouse's world. Where are you? The first thing that comes in your head, where are you in that story? Physically, where, what part of it?
Yeah, like in the protection of the bushes.
Which ones?
I think because he goes towards the mountains as he heads to the mountains. Runs from a bush and there's a river. So I feel kind of like before he makes the move from one of the places to the next.
Okay. And is it where he's with the choke cherries about to meet the buffalo, or is he in the sage?
He's in the
You
sage.
are you, yeah. Good. Okay. So just be there and feeling what you're feeling with your body. Now you're in a sage bush, first of all. You know, and just smelling that sage and looking around you and just being there for a moment, and then we'll just bring Bonnie Jean along too. Where are you?
Well, I just envision myself in a river.
Okay, in the story, put yourself in the story. So you are perhaps Little Mouse in the river. And do you remember what his response was to being in the river?
No.
He was real pissed.
That's kind of what I felt when just a burst of, I don't know,
Yeah, that's good. No,
I
this is
guess
perfect.
anger.
So it's not about memory. This is very honest, this reckoning. It's kind of like a reckoning. So, okay, you're in the river and you're maybe climbing out as Little Mouse. He was like, just get me back to the shore. And from that place now of whatever it is you're feeling, even just look around you and ask yourself from this place, what is there to fear?
Right.
And answer as you will.
Nothing.
Look around you. Is there anything? Yeah, just. What do you see? Go ahead.
I see like land in front of me, and what there is to fear is, guess, being eaten. Yeah, not knowing what could come.
And how does it feel in that place?
I the curiosity. I feel curious and a sense of trust because, like, it's like at the same time as I feel trust, I also feel like running backwards or like forlorn. That's a word that comes, which is kind of grasping at the past, which is kind of impossibility in a sense. I have butterflies in my belly and feel, but at the same time feel anxiety.
They usually go hand in hand. So there's something about putting yourself into a story. It takes you a little bit out of yourself in a way, but not out of your body. You're still very much present. And to explore it from that perspective. And because it gives you a grounding. It gives you a sense of place to work from. When we get into our fears and our doubts and whatever, self-criticism and worry, we can get very lost. We get lost so quickly in it. But to drop yourself into the jumping mouse story, you find your place and you're like, oh, that's where I am. Okay, now I know where I am. You know, and how am I responding to this? And how you're responding to the environment you dropped into is the honest response to what is coming up for you. Do you see that?
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful exercise to continue to work with all that. Whenever you just feel like, whew, things are getting way too fast, chaos is overcoming me, is you just bring yourself into the story. And the neat thing about the story is you know how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But no matter where you are, you still feel that, you know, anything. It can be anxiety or anticipation or relief, or the feelings there are very real. They're very real and valid.
Yeah.
And, you know, they say the future is forbidden, but there is something in you that knows where you're going, what this is all about, but doesn't really act like it does. And that's perfect, you know, it's just that's all part of the mystery, working with Great Spirit, which we call Wankum Thanka. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the first time in like all of my 26 years that I've ever like been able to feel those authentic feelings. You know, I went through all of my life thinking, oh, it's best to just smile all the time and be happy all the time, really suppressing anything that, or not noticing anything that ever came up this first time mm-hmm. since starting this course that I could feel things. And yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And also, like, don't get too attached to it. Because, you know, as everything goes, you might be familiar with like nonviolent communication practices. They're all about feeling and really deep. And it's good to be in touch with your feelings. And again, as you said, the word authentic.
Right, yeah.
And they're a little bit different than emotions, actually. What we're working with here are feelings. And they just let you drop into it. You know, feelings are very sensual. They're like, oh, yeah, this is where I am.
Like a stream or something?
Sure. Whereas emotions, even by the root of the word, are motivating. They push you around.
Right.
And they push other people around. And we are coming to evolve away from being pawns of emotions. And we also call that emotional intelligence. And the emotions have a new portfolio coming up. Their purpose is changing a little bit. But to have your feelings, you see, the sensual body is coming through so beautifully. And so just to be aware of the difference between a feeling and an emotion. There's nothing wrong with emotions. They just have a habit of really getting out of hand.
Right.
And so too, if you're feeling highly emotional, bring yourself into the story in this way. And it'll just like touch down the tornado and leave you there. And you can just watch the tornado keep going and just does what it does. You know, the maelstrom, we like to call it in honor of Calypso and the water energies of the world. Now there's another piece to this is where you are in the jumping mouse story, your physical location. Ask yourself, what do I love about this? this view or this place? What do I love about this?
The shade and the green and the knowing that I'm going to go and that my curiosity is a valid ship. It's exciting.
I'm feeling that. And now I'm just going to keep going. We'll come back to the other two. But and so when we say feeling too, so feel the fear that you had earlier as one arm. And love that you're feeling now as another arm. And feel those two arms embracing you. Because they work together. Fear and love. Yeah, it's a safe embrace. One arm of fear. Fear's always looking out for you. And one arm of love. In fact, you know, of the two, I'd be more inclined to snuggle up with fear than love. Love is so unpredictable. Fear is a familiar. But not to be enveloped by it. You just know what fear is. And, you know, last week we sent out the piece about fear being that blackbird who is like the village guardian. Never goes into the village, has no need to, but has a post, you know, outside of the village, make sure everything's okay out there. Looks out for us. Looks out for the incoming love, like, duck, sometimes. Love's like a really reckless flyer. That's flyer, by the way, not liar. Yeah. You know, like Jonathan Livingston Seagull bumps into things, trying to figure out how there's more to flying than just flying. You know, love knows there's much more to love than people can even imagine. And it's constantly trying to show us. But sometimes it just, like, you know, slams into us or doesn't come by for a long time. So what do you love about the water, about the river, the stream?
About the lack of control it gave me. Like, you kind of just go with it. Washes clean.
Nice. Well, you know, it's interesting that, you know, yes, you cannot steer the river. And that's a darn good thing because you are so busy keeping your head above water.
Exactly.
And that's all we are asked to do. And that, you know, again, this is this idea of, yes, your hand is on the control panel, but there's a lot more going on. So you are a participant. And it is not ours to steer the river, and it is not ours to control everything that happens in our lives. In fact, most despair comes from believing you are in control.
Right.
Thinking you are in control. And it's
And it's I am quite a control freak. I admit that. I hate it, but I am.
Well, it's applying it in the right places. You know, you've got a little one now, and there's lots of good places to exert control.
Right.
And that's in the sense of, you know, a controlled environment, making sure it's safe for a little one and your choices of food and such things.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I never thought about it like that.
Oh, we have lots of, everybody has quite a generous area to apply control. So it's knowing where that is and where to back off. The universe relies on us to some extent to be in control in some areas. It can't do everything all at once itself. We are the most sophisticated forms of consciousness. And that's not a big, you know, badge, really. It's just what it is. It's not saying we're better than the animals or certainly not the plants. It's just we are a particular form of consciousness that walks and talks. Mm-hmm. And we can act on behalf of the universe like nothing else can. So again, it's just this like really, it's like two sides of the coin, you know? We're so close. Yes, there's a polarity in that I am in control and I have absolutely no control, but they are no farther away than two sides of a coin. I am alone and I'm not alone. They are both true. You are absolutely alone. You know, some would say there is nothing else here but you. Nothing. Nothing. There's only you. And everything else is a figment of your imagination. And so when we get to that place too, we would like to reach out to people and say, no, not really. I don't particularly like that scenario for very long. Sometimes it can be amusing for a little while. And so again, then the coin kind of flips and it's like, wow, we are so not alone. Yeah, we are alone. You see, it just keeps going back and forth. And so it's being able to dip into understanding again. And that's really the bathhouse is understanding. So if you're feeling your head is foggy from today's talking, or anything, is to remember to just slip off your robe, your rolls and everything. And it just takes a second and just, okay, I'm in the bathhouse. I'm just dipping into this tub of understanding and letting it do what it does, which is just wash you, like you said, in the, you know, the cleansing of the river. And that's what the river does. So consider that if we have surrendered to the river and we've thrown ourselves in it and all we need to do is keep our heads above water, we're being cleansed all the time. It's like, it just is. Mm-hmm. And we're being carried. And all we have to do is keep our heads above the water and look around and see there are others in the river with you. And celebrate. Yeah, you got it too. Yeah, you got the memo and you're doing it. Yeah. Where are we going? I don't know. Do you know? No, I don't know. But we're here. We made it this far. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's the curiosity again. Yeah. It's like, okay, I'm in control of keeping my head above water and I'm being cleansed and I'm pretty darn curious where this is all going, but I don't always have time to think about it because I'm keeping my head above the water. And then I remember again that where I really am. And all the parts to getting you there, like you were talking about the past even. If your whole life is simply the story of Jumping Mouse, the entire story is in the past. Mm-hmm. But when you go there, it doesn't somehow feel like the past, does it? It's just where you are in the story, the never-ending story. Somebody's walking. Can hear you walking.
Yeah, I had to go get the charger for my phone because I'm scared it might die. Trying to sit down.
Okay. Well, you know, we've got some time here, and just keep exploring whatever you want to. If there's something that wants to come up.
Yeah, I'm appreciating the well of understanding as we're like talking. I'm just like, yeah, I'm feeling bathed and just all these things running through my mind and then just like not letting them go, but just seeing them as just, yeah, I think I am letting them go. There's a lot going on. I recently asked for magic with regarding to finding a future home. And I have some beliefs about magic and what. Anyways, I asked for some extra magic, some like juju, and prayed and did like a little ceremony. And I haven't done that very often. I've said intentions and prayers, and this time I asked for some extra magic, and some really incredible things happened. And I'm just like, as I'm focusing in on my physical body and my ovaries and what's happening or what's not happening, and then the story of me hiding under the little sage bush, I'm also just really appreciating the trust of the little bits of magic that just come sprinkling down on top of what is already magic, but it's just like, and then just being steeped in this course, I've just been like, and yeah, trying to just be really grateful to what's happening and also careful in what I am asking for. It's like, I asked for the magic and now I'm in a really interesting but very complicated situation. It's like, wow, okay. Here we are.
Here we are indeed.
Yeah.
Well, this period is quite intense that we're just coming out of. Really, like, whoa. I greeted a friend this morning, and he's like, "How you doing?" And normally we're just like, "Hi, how are you? Good, blah blah," right? And I said, "We made it." And he goes, "Oh my God, you too, eh?" Like, it was really great just to have that acknowledgement that we're all going through this, and it's playing out. It's a different little story for everybody. The details are all so original, and unique. But it's the same, like pushing our buttons, looking inside, what's not clean? Where do I need to be cleansed and clarified? And also, if you are able to see around you, to really broaden your scope and notice how you play a part in other things happening, as I said, almost unimaginable parts. And that maybe you're having to wait for something, even though you're quite sure that it's going to happen, it just has to be that way. Other things need to happen first, or something you do is helping that happen. And that's that trust too that you're talking about. And now, obviously, sometimes when you're in it, you're just so in it, you can't see it. And you see, really, this changing mind is all about changing the mindset, and it is very much kind of a hindsight sometimes, because you'll get really caught up in something and then you'll come out of it and you'll be able to see how underwater, you know, it's like, oh, I was underwater for quite a long spell there. And it may just be because there was a log jam. And the best thing to do for a log jam is go under. But we aren't completely conscious, right, that we're in this river and how it's moving. So we get little glimpses of it. And I don't know if you've noticed, but I've certainly noticed myself the turnaround time. So the coin flipping, like, okay, I'm just in it. I'm, you know, life sucks and this is crazy. And then all of a sudden you come out of it and you're like, oh, okay, I'm sort of seeing that better now. And, you know, sometimes it's just very difficult to be the witness when you're in something. You can step out of it for a few minutes even, and then psh, you're back in. Mm-hmm. So very much this metaphor of the river. Sometimes you got to go under to get to bypass the log jam. And that's like I also see it as a gift of the universe. It's like, okay, we need to fuddle this one's mind for like a week to actually keep them on track. And then we come out of it and go, oh, well, that's what all that was about. Cool. No, or not so cool sometimes, but you're able to see it. Yeah. And that, and then the feeling comes of, wow, I'm really being looked after.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes like a child, it means taking candy out of their hands or saying, no, you can't stay up till 10 o'clock. You have to go to bed early because they're being taken care of. It's not always what you want.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So it is very much about changing your mind about how things are, what they are for, and really allowing these stories to come for you. And what I've talked about a lot tonight is the Hopi prophecy. We've been very much steeped in that this evening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these few stories that we are focusing on in the course and all the words, but again, those stories, that they will keep you afloat. That's what they're designed to do. And the course is a little bit more of a, oh, well, what's coming up in the river and how do we work with it? And, you know, creativity.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All challenge is a appetizer, if you will, for creativity.
Oh, I like that.
Get on with the main course, the course. You know, a lot of people say stay the course. Well, you also want to be aware of what course you're on. So, you know, don't get too fixated on what you think the future holds for you. That's very limiting. When you consider it, most of our thought patterns are completely limiting. Because we think we're in control. Control is very limiting. And because we think we know what we want or should be doing, social conditioning. You know, the eagle, which Jumping Mouse comes to, is about all possibility.
Mm-hmm.
It is foregoing all preconceived ideas, all notions and ideals, which are very volatile, into the realm of all possibility. That is our escape route.
Mm-hmm. That piece of that story helped me to let go of some of my fear around death. Because it was just that moment of like, aha, like, you think you're gonna die, and then all of a sudden it's like, poof, a whole other. And I just in that moment, I actually just had like a shudder in my whole body, and was, I mean, I'm still aware of the mortality, but it was just a beautiful reminder.
Just changing forms, changing your skin. And again, is that, the first father loved his children so much, and he commanded to them, change, change your skins. But because of the thunder and the wind, they heard, stay, stay the But they're just the two sides of the coin. You are eternity, and that will never change. But you will change your skins in order to be a participant in existence and in consciousness coming to know itself.